Well, hello everyone and welcome. Now, we have the rather large distraction of the war that has broken out, but I want to try to keep domestic politics in focus as well and to try to juggle the two as the war is ongoing, because I think there are some important things and developments in British politics that we need to keep an eye on. Last week, there was the election of Hannah Spencer in Gorton and Denton. And I focus a lot of my coverage on just hammering the cringe lord Alan Partridge figure of Matt Goodwin. But I somewhat ignored some of the factors that led Hannah Spencer to win. Now, I realized that she picked up a lot of Muslim votes, appealing to, being pro-Palestinian and things like that. Okay. Now, one way to look at that is to say, well, it's sectarianism, there's racialization of politics and so on. Another way of looking at it is that it's just like, well, they're the votes on the table. What are you going to say to them? Okay. So part of that is just good politics. But there's another aspect of Hannah Spencer's campaign I want to look at, because I think that the right has a serious problem with how they are passing the rise of the Greens at the moment. I saw a stat this morning that the Green Party is the number one party in current polls for all people under the age of 50. That includes my demographic. It's not just kind of crazy Zoomers and so on. It's millennials, and it's even people up in the Gen X and the Zennial, God's true chosen people, the Zennials, it's people as old as us as well. And one of the reasons I think that this has evaded many right-wingers is because right-wingers have a habit of not actually watching their opponents. They only see the meme version of their opponent. So for many people, all Hannah Spencer is someone who danced, on the street, and someone who turned up in Parliament wearing a, stupid pajama outfit, whatever she was wearing, yellow jumpsuit or whatever. Okay, so they focus on those superficial things, and their lens is reactionary. Okay, they're reactionary, and then they focus on some of the kind of demographics of the seat, which is an important issue, right? But there's something else I think people are missing, and in this video, I want to focus on how the right really can respond to this, because as things stand, I don't actually think there's a lot of good or convincing answers coming from, supposedly right-wing parties. Before we get going, I'll remind people, pick up courses at the academic agency. Trivium is the bestseller. This may take a while, this video, so I'm going to play the ad in full. When I come back, we're going to be analyzing footage of Goodwin, footage of Hannah Spencer, a speech that she gave. There's a few tweets from real people that I saw there. And I really think that as things stand, the right does not have an answer to, it's not so much the message of Hannah Spencer, but the, the vibe, the general kind of packaging of the whole thing at the moment is a severe issue. All right, where's this ad? Okay.
Academic agency.
And I'll just remind people, Foundations of Shakespeare, due to release, beautiful black cover, gorgeous book. Quite a few of the stock is already sold. So the first run, selling out very fast. So if you want to get it soon, it's kind of like a collector's item thing. and I don't know how many more runs that they will do after the first run. Okay, so let us now concentrate back on this seat, Gorton and Denton last week, and think about why is it that the Greens are climbing in popularity. They are now polling second, just behind Reform. Reform have dropped in the polls. They're down to about 23%. Greens are up to 21%. And they are the number one with people aged under 50. Okay, and there's all sorts of reasons for that that I want to get into. But let's focus in as a test case. Let's look at how these two characters, Goodwin and Spencer, campaigned in Gorton and Denton. So I'm going to let's watch the Partridge compilation I made of Goodwin. But instead of just kind of watching it and laughing like we did before, I'm going to actually start breaking down specifically what is wrong with Goodwin's entire approach here. Okay.
We are in torrential rain in Burnage.
So just straight off the bat, Goodwin is far too chuffed, okay, with the fact that he's far too aware of the fact that he is outside and campaigning, okay? Remember, in his thinking, he's trying to fight off the terminally online right and all that sort of stuff, but Goodwin himself is terminally online. And here, you can just see it in his face and in his whole presentation, he's just really chuffed with the fact that he's out. Okay, he is too proud of the fact that he's actually outside campaigning and leafleting and things like that. And this comes across. It's kind of an intangible. And what I'm talking about today is in a lot of it is intangibles. Okay, or sort of dare I say X factor or something like that. It's you know, I'm trying to avoid using words like vibe and aura, right? But truly, this is whatever aura is. This is the opposite of it, because he's too aware. He's too self-aware of what's happening. Okay, let's carry on.
In Burnage, aha! Just to show you what makes it worthwhile. Hey,
Jurassic Park,
Britain.
Okay, so now we have the infamous clip with Goodwin and Bastani. And in light of the recent news, in light of the outbreak of war, this is massively significant. Not only it should be stressed with the Muslim vote, but just with normal people who don't want another forever war. People who remember Iraq and Afghanistan, people who are sick to the back teeth of the Epstein class and of the class who you know, facilitated the grooming gangs. And I've got a post I'm going to read in a little bit to show you how this message here, that Reform and notice Reform have got completely behind 100% warmongering now, Farage and Tice and all of these Tory defectors, you know, they're massively saying, oh, well, we need to be there as well, etc. This is not an anti-establishment message. The most establishment-coded thing you can do, apart from argue for mass immigration, is to be all out for the forever wars. It is a losing message. It is the same politics, literally, of Tony Blair or of any other establishment stooge that you can think of. So Goodwin, being all in, being an Israel firster and so on, it's a vote losing, not only with you know, it's not a sectarian issue where it's only Muslims who care about it. Patriots also don't want you to be an Israel firster, and yet here he is.
Not Israel? What? Not Israel? The media just
pushed my face.
Don't let man...
And this is the last bit that we're going to have a look at. Now, this is the coup de... This is the, you know, the cherry on the cake, really, this bit here. Let's have a think about what he's doing, okay? He is riding around empty streets, shouting into a microphone. What does it tell you? It tells you that this is being done not for the people in the streets, but it's being done for the camera. It's not actually being done for the people who are there, but for the people who are there. They're being the internet. They're being for clips online. He's doing it for clicks online. He's not doing it for the people who are there. Now let's listen to what he's actually talking about.
Ads that hypnotise you into voting green. They want to legalise all drugs, crack cocaine and heroin. They want open border chaos. Keir Starmer looks like a robot.
These are coming across like he's reeling off Daily Mail headlines, right? He's reeling off. The trouble is that it's abstract. It is disconnected from what's happening in that place, okay? Apart from the bit about open borders, okay? But it's still pitched at the level of national politics and of things that are happening over, like things that are happening just over there somewhere, okay, in Westminster. That's the whole thing doesn't come across like it's speaking to the concerns of the people who are presumably walking in those streets, although they look pretty empty to me.
Doesn't understand the British people, vote reform, put Gorton and Denton first.
Another serious problem, of course, is that he's saying that Keir Starmer's like a robot, and he sounds like a robot. He's saying that Keir Starmer doesn't understand the British people, but he's coming across like someone who does not understand the British people. Why is he coming across like that? Because he just, I mean, one, he doesn't sound like he comes from the area, even if he does, right? I don't know where Goodwin's from, but let's pretend he is from there. He doesn't sound like he's from there. He seems like he's from out of town. He seems like, dare I say, an out-of-touch elite, a Tory boy. He seems like a Tory boy. This is a massive presentational issue with Goodwin. Let's continue here.
A vote for Goodwin is a vote for Gorton and Denton.
You know, he doesn't even sound like he believes it himself. If you don't believe it yourself, if you are inauthentic, how are you going to ever get anybody else to believe in your vision if you yourself are inauthentic? It's an issue. Let's carry on here.
Reform, get Starmer out. It's time to sack Keir Starmer.
Back of the net.
Right, so, you know, inept campaigning, really. He got 29% of the vote with those shenanigans. Underperformed, if you ask me. He should have been able to turn out a lot more people than that, as per my previous analysis, by getting non-voters to turn out, and by increasing the enthusiasm, which is what anti-establishment parties are meant to do and have done all through history. But he was not able to do that, Goodwin. Why? Because he just seemed like more of the same. Just seemed like a Tory. It could have been Jeremy Hunt now or something like that. Okay. Let us contrast this now with Hannah Spencer in her victory speech. And we'll be able to see immediately the difference in presentation, aura, vibe, authenticity, and all the rest of it.
I declare that Hannah Catherine Spencer is duly elected Member of Parliament for the Gorton and Denton constituency.
I didn't grow up wanting to be a politician. I'm a plumber. And 2 weeks ago, during all this, I also qualified as a plasterer. Because even in chaos, even under pressure, I get things done. I am no different to every single person here in this constituency. I work hard. That is what we do. Except things have changed a lot over the last few decades. Because working hard used to get you something. It got you a house, a nice life, holidays. It got you somewhere.
Now, what she's actually done here, she's come down to the level of the audience, okay? She's speaking as one of you. She's speaking to your normal, everyday concerns, okay? She's not standing there saying, okay, Starmer is a wanker. You know, she's just talking to people's everyday lives. And therefore, she seems less out of touch. Now, you can quibble with the details, right? You know, is she really a plumber? I mean, frankly, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because she's coming across more like a normal person than Matt Goodwin. Okay? And, let's carry on.
But now, working hard, what does that get you? Because talk to anyone here and they will tell you. The people who work hard but can't put food on the table, can't get their kids' school uniforms, can't put their heating on, can't live off the pension they worked hard to save for, can't even begin to dream about ever having a holiday, ever. Because life has changed. Instead of working for a nice life, we're working to line the pockets of billionaires. We are being bled dry. And I don't think it's extreme or radical to think working hard should get you a nice life. We have shown that we don't...
See, it's a message that's going to resonate with a lot of people. Not only the Muslims in the area, but the white people too. Just normal people. Who went, and that's one of the reasons why she won in this seat. Don't forget, she also defeated Labour. And you can say, well, this is just a lefty area. It's not the case, okay? It's not necessarily the case. This seat was 127th on the Greens' target list. They didn't think they would win it, but they did. And I think one of the reasons they won it is because she came across like a normal person, as against the elites, okay? Remember, in the current meta, the thing to be is anti-establishment. To not be one of them being permanent people who are aligned with the Epstein class, okay? She doesn't feel like she's one of those. Goodwin does, okay? Goodwin feels like he's part of the permanent establishment. Hannah Spencer does not. Okay. No, I haven't talked about policies. I haven't talked about insane economic ideas or anything like that. I'm just talking about the packaging and how she's coming across. Because in a feckless system like democracy, these things matter. Popularity matters. You know, these are the sorts of things that will connect and get people, normal men and women, to vote for you. So let's carry on, see what else she says here.
Don't have to accept being turned against each other at all. And we did this with the people who live here, side by side, shoulder to shoulder, just as we have always done in this constituency and in the whole of Greater Manchester. Because this is great, is Manchester. And we do things differently here. Thank you so, so much to everybody. Thank you.
So, I mean, I think she did all right in that speech. And I think she came across, again, you know, it was a bit of a, I guess you'd say it was a Dusty Rhodes promo, you know. That's hard times, Daddy. You know, I grew up the son of a plumber, etc. Basically a kind of Manchester version of that. And it worked. And I think that as the Greens pick up momentum and as the left figure out, I guess what you call left populist strategies, the right aren't going to know what's coming, especially if they don't disaggregate themselves, okay, from, you know, what has been termed by them the blob. They're always talking about the blob, and then your politics are exactly the same as Jeremy Hunt's. You know, your foreign policy preferences are exactly the same as Tony Blair's. You can't run as an anti-establishment party and then literally just become the establishment. It doesn't work like that. And people like Hannah Spencer will eat their lunch. Now, as I've said before, I actually think the Greens, okay, maybe have been planted there. Okay, Polanski may have been planted there to edge out Corbyn and your party and Zara Sultana, who the system actually does fear. I think they fear the Greens less. But it doesn't matter, because their packaging, as things stand, is more anti-establishment than the other options on the table, not including Rupert Lowe, of course. Okay, we can come back to that. And one of the exchanges I saw on Twitter that really kind of brought this home just this morning was between Nicholas Liksak here. Here's Liksak, this you know, regime creature, came up from nowhere, no organic audience, you know, we just somehow he cropped up one day, astroturfed, okay, feels disconnected from everything. Who is this guy? Who is Liksak? Okay, just a kind of pure Westminster operative, essentially. okay? Now, he does not come across as authentic, and now he's out there selling forever wars for the regime yet again. It's not going down very well. And to show you how Hannah Spencer is actually talking to the actual concerns of people better than the likes of Liksak, better than Goodwin, better than Reform. I saw this post by a young chap called Nigel Nelson. Here he is responding to Liksak, okay? And he says, look, I'm just a young, white, working-class lad from this country, and I'm breaking here. I grass 7 days a week, work two jobs every single day. Think of Hannah Spencer's speech just now, by the way, as I'm reading this, because she spoke to these concerns. Just to keep my head above water. I worked my way to owning my own little house and my own car. Come the weekend, if there's a few quid left, I go to the local with my mates for a couple of pints and a bit of banter. Sometimes that feels normal for 5 minutes and that's it. That's all I want. A Britain where people at the top actually give a shit about me, an ordinary British citizen, before anyone else. But it feels like they've written me off completely. Why does no one speak for lads like me anymore? Why am I invisible? Why am I worth nothing to this society now? And why the hell is it always us, white British young men, who get told to pick up rifles and go die in someone else's war? Why are they so quick to throw our lives away? Who keeps pushing this shit, cheering for it, while we're the ones who bleed out in the dirt? They look at me like I'm dirt, disposable, cannon fodder, nothing else. Please just hear me. We don't want your wars. We don't want to die for causes that aren't ours. We just want to live, to breathe, to not be treated like we're already dead. Stop. Just effing stop before there's nothing left of us to send. Okay? That's what he wrote. And the thing is that as things stand, the left and the Green Party are set to own that anger and that discontent with the ruling class, okay? Now, their analysis of the situation is different from many right-wingers, okay? Right-wingers want to blame immigration. They want to blame, they want to say, well, but the trouble is, and I've said this many times, if you put your ire at the immigrants themselves, if you put your anger at the immigrants themselves, that just it can come across as nasty and hateful. Whereas the anger really should be at the people whose decisions it was, okay, that brought this about in the first place, aka the ruling class. Now, the Greens, they want to target the rich and billionaires. It's a classic socialist play, right? They want to say, well, the people who are at fault here are the billionaires. And the thing is, there's some truth to that. You know, I did my videos before on capitalism and immigration, on cheap labor, on people working at, you know, less than a fraction of minimum wage for massive companies. Okay. I mean, all of this, you know, semi-legal, illegal activity, you know, just to keep the wheels turning, wheels of commerce turning. I've talked before about how successive governments sold the country off by the pound. How they thought nothing of giving our assets, the assets of this country, to foreign investors. And the right needs an answer to all of these lingering discontents with neoliberalism. Immigration is one part of it, but as I see things, it just wants a kind of low resolution anger and resentment at just the immigration part of the piece of the pie. Whereas the Greens, okay, some of their solutions are mental, okay? They're kind of kumbaya, all the races as one, John Lennon's Imagine bullshit is utopian and stupid, okay? I agree. Some of their economic solutions would crash the economy, okay? All of those things are true. But their diagnosis of the basic issue and their theory of why it's happened, their theory is more rounded, more cohesive than many of the things I've seen coming from the right, which at its worst, as I've said before, is slop-brained, reactionary, you know, doesn't really, just kind of doesn't think, you know, just kind of moment to moment outrage, as opposed to a fully cohesive explanation for why we're in the shit. Not all right-wingers, obviously many, there are many intelligent right-wingers as well, but they tend, when it comes to actual politics, they tend to lose out. And now Reform are basically running on Toryism again. It's just the Tory party again. You know, forever wars, low taxes and neoliberal bullshit yet again. Well, the thing is, we had 14 years of the Tory party, okay? And in fact, if you include the Blair era and the Thatcher era and the John Major era, from 1979 to now, okay, we've had my entire lifetime. You know, I'm 43. Thatcher came in 79. So we're talking almost 50 years of neoliberal orthodoxy and absolute bullshit. Okay, what has it got us? What is it? Where has it got this country? And this is one of my concerns, really. Now, Rupert Lowe and Restore, Rupert has, you know, doesn't have the inauthenticity problem. He seems authentic, okay? And, you know, he does speak forthrightly on a lot of the issues. But one of the things I worry about is that if the anti-immigration campaign is purely negative, okay, it's purely negative, then people aren't, you know, there's certain questions that aren't being answered, like, why? And more pivotally, how is my life going to be better because of this? How is my life going to be better? How are all these problems that Hannah Spencer is talking about going to improve? Okay. And I am of the view that a massive reduction of recent arrivals would actually solve some of these issues. It would make housing more affordable. It would, you know, it would beautify some of our, you know, ailing towns and cities. It would just make things better. You know, it would improve the quality of life. But that argument is never made explicitly. You know, too much time is spent on what you might call the politics of resentment, okay, or leaning into, you know, things that veer on nasty racism and things like that. And I just fear that that is not necessarily, you know, a winning message. You need to, like, bring people on, give them hope. Give them, and that's why, you know, the launch video from Rupert, you know, where he's saying, well, this is not going to be difficult, and some of the times where he's talked about he doesn't want the country to be sold off to Larry Fink, and he's talked about Fabianism and things like that. These are little moments, little glimmers of Rupert showing that he has a wider thesis of what has gone wrong. Okay, the elephant in the room, though, with Rupert. Is the Randianism, the free market stuff. And again, you know, people under 50, they're going for the Greens, okay? And I do wonder if one of the kind of trade-offs that Restore may want to think about in the future is toning down some of the free market fundamentalism, you know, like the... now, look, the civil service does need to be reduced, okay? Some of the bloat in the system, that sort of talk is fine. But there is a, like, politics is partly about, like, what can you do for me? How can you, this party, make my life better? Okay, what can you, I mean, and at root, part of that is gifts. It's Gibbs. It's, you know, what can you do for me? And there needs to be some answer, I think. That's why I said they want to make this whole video. And it could just be a slight repackaging of what is already being done. But to make it explicit, right, if we do this policy, then this will result. If we do this policy, then this will result, et cetera, et cetera. You've really got to spell it out for members of the public. Speaking of Thatcher, this is actually something that she did. If you go back and watch footage of Thatcher, while she was campaigning and while she was kind of selling policies to the public, she also educated them. she gave like really nice little 2-minute explanations, you know, and you can, because I'm into archival footage and things, you can go and find this. She'd go to a grocery, she'd actually go to the supermarket, and she'd be like, look, because I did this with this policy or that policy, your carrots are now like 3p cheaper and things like that. She would actually go and do that stuff and explain it like in a tangible way. I don't really see many kind of figures of the current right doing that. I think there's too much, I'm not saying this is true of Rupert, but I'm just saying of the right in general, too much Tory boyism, you know. On Twitter recently, I've been doing this thing, faces of Tory boyism, you know, just putting a picture of their face, and you know exactly the sort of faces I'm talking about. Somehow that image needs to be adjusted. It needs to be more authentic. It needs to connect with people like Nigel Nelson in a way that he feels that you're there for them. Because at the minute, they don't feel like they're there for anybody but the kind of permanent entrenched interests of the ruling class, which, of course, was always the leftist critique of the right, that the right was just an unprincipled defense of the current status quo. Well, you can't be anti-establishment with that as your message. So, all right, let me know what you think of this one. And also, more importantly, try to generate some ideas of positive message. Like, what's a positive vision for what Britain can be like, and how, a vote for Restore, for example, will help solve all of these problems that Anna Spencer was talking about, or make life a little bit easier for Nigel, who was ranting at Licksack on Twitter. All right, pick up a course, ladies and gentlemen. Foundations of Shakespeare also a good one, and I'll see you next time.